originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Barrage aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I'm here in our Jimmy John's studio in Lexington, Kentucky. And thank you to everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219 XM 206. And also, if you've never been to the website, check it out, horseracingradio.net, where you will also find replays of all of the other great shows right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So a portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, and the PDJF provides financial assistance to former riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you're able to help, visit the website, pdjf.org. And speaking of the PDJF, there's a wonderful event coming up this Sunday, April 23rd, at the Castle in Versailles, Kentucky. And this is to benefit these permanently disabled jockeys. There will be a dinner, an auction, karaoke. It's going to be a great time. This event is from 6 to 11 p.m. Tickets are $75 a person. If you'd like to purchase tickets, please, again, visit the website at pdjf.org. So my guest this evening is currently one of the top trainers in New York, closing in on 900 wins in just 7 years. Now, wait a minute, you might be wondering why I'm interviewing a trainer on Jock Talk. Well, he's also a former jockey, his career highlighted by an upset victory in the Grade 1 Suburban Handicap in 2008. We will hear that story and more over the next hour. With 221 wins as a rider and over $6 million in earnings, I'm happy to introduce former jockey and trainer Rudy Rodriguez. Rudy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So great to sit down and talk to you, Rudy, and find out more about how you got started as a trainer and your riding career. And I know you're a busy man, so let's get right to it, Rudy. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Mexico.
And were you involved with horses from a young age?
Not really, though. We used to have horses, but not like United States horses, you know. But I was always involved with animals, pigs, cows, goats, you name it.
So you always loved working. Did you have a farm there in Mexico?
We used to work for my father. He got like, a small farm. So we always work with animals, milk cows, goats, pigs, working in the field. So it was about working, you know, surviving.
So you learned from a young age how important a good work ethic is, how hard you have to work to be successful. And Rudy, what brought about the idea of horse racing to you?
You know, I got a brother, he's involved with the, he was a jockey, Jesus Rodriguez, and he's the one who put me to start galloping horses up. And then when I come to New York, I start working for Richard Dutro Sr. He passed away a few years ago. When he moved up to Maryland, I started working for his son, Richard Dutro Jr., and at the same time, I was breeding horses for Bobby Franco, worked for Joseph Aquilino. I worked for a lot of trainers, small trainers, and a few of the best trainers in the country, you know.
Absolutely. You mentioned some big names there, Rudy. And tell me, though, how did you first come to the United States? Why did you decide to leave Mexico?
To get a better life, you know. Mexico is very, very tough to live. You work very, very hard for no money. You know, that's why they call the United States the world of the opportunity, you know. So trying to get opportunity over here in the United States, and thank God everything has been working more than I expected, you know.
Definitely worked out well for you, Rudy. And what was your first initial reaction when you moved to the United States? Was it kind of a culture shock? Were you, did you speak English when you first arrived? How was that?
I don't even speak English. Yeah. it was very, very hard. Everything was different. You know, but at the same time, you know, you want to work hard and try to make money to send back home. And just keep working, you know. You know, I was working picking orange at the beginning, plant the strawberries, pick up tomatoes, eggplants, cucumbers, zucchinis, everything in the farm, you know. And my brother picked me up from Tampa, and we went to Gostrin. And I started walking horses and ghosting.
So you decided you'd had enough of picking fruits and vegetables and you wanted to check out the horses. And what was the initial reaction when you got to the racetrack? Were you comfortable around the horses? Did you feel like you were natural working with them?
I'm not sure, naturally, you know, just trying to work, you know. Just trying to work and put everything together, you know.
And what did you first start out doing? Were you grooming horses?
Walking horses, clean up the feed tops, pull up the bucket, the water buckets. Just a little bit. Start, you know, over there with the guy. I started working for Joe in BC. Just clean up the feed tops and full out the bucket water, you know. That was the first thing I started doing it.
Joe and Basie. I know Joe. And when did you decide that you were learning well enough on the ground and you knew how to work with horses? When did you decide to start galloping?
You never really learn everything and the need of the horses, you know. You just... I always try to do different things and don't put myself in one position. So we went to Mammon Park when Mammon Park opened after Gostrin. And I was grooming horses and then Mammon Park, and after finished grooming, I was going to the farm, groom couple horses like that. The trainer, I was helping him give me opportunity to jump in the pony and put me in another horse and just trying to work my way up, you know.
And how was it when you first started getting on horses?
It was very hard. It was very hard. You know, I fell down a few times, and you know, the thing is, if you fell down, you gotta be able to get up and don't be afraid. And I think that's probably what helped me the most, because I fell down a couple of times and I just keep moving alone.
We've all.
I never kind of was afraid to falling down. So I guess that helped me a lot. And you know, sometimes when you are not afraid, the horses pretty much sense when you are afraid, and I guess they get a little more crazy or whatever, you know. So I don't know. You know, everything looked like it's. I got a big angel on top of me. They helped me a lot, though, because I went through a lot of up and downs, and everything looked like it's working very, very good, thank God.
Yeah, you got to just get back up in the saddle, Rudy, like you said. And horses are incredible. They sense what you're feeling, what you're thinking. And if you're scared, oh, they pick up on that and they take advantage of it. And like you mentioned,
you probably know better than a lot of the people listening. You know, you was a rider yourself, and you know, to be on top of the horses is very, very different to just say, oh, well, I got to do that. It's not the same thing than just say, oh, I got to do that and do it, you know.
It's a little bit more to it than just going around in circles, right, Rudy?
Definitely. That's what I would doubt.
Exactly. More to it than that. But when you first started and you were galloping horses, what would you say you had to work on the most? Was it maybe strength? Was it, you know, when you were starting to really think about riding races, what were you focused on learning the most, and who taught you?
I don't know. Like, a lot of people told me, my brother was big how to teach me how to start galloping horses. And then when I started working over here for Dutro, I got Lisa and Donna. I don't really know the last names of both girls when I was working for Dutro. So they very, very good exercise riders, and I tried to pick up a lot from them. And I was lucky to surround always myself with good people, you know?
Definitely sounds like it, Rudy. And what did Dutro teach you?
I learned a lot from him, though. You know, just to be patient with the horses, let the horses tell you what they want to do, and don't force the stuff, and always keep an eye on the horses, and the knee and the feet up, and how they traveling in the track. You know, it was amazing working for Dutro Senior. You know, it's, I don't know, you know, I think I learned a lot from him, though. That's definitely.
And Rudy, when was the moment in time when you decided, hey, I want to ride races?
I always try because I was no bigger enough. So, you know, I'm still small. Yes, I never got the opportunity to ride good horses. But, you know, I probably, if I still be able to ride, I think probably maybe I've been doing riding instead of training, you know.
And so that moment came and you thought, you want to do this. You're small. Why not? Your brother rode. So where did you first start riding races at?
New York. I always started in New York, and I kind of stuck in New York, I guess. No, I rode my first horse for Baby as Me. I feel it, they rode in the grass. She finished dead last. So, but it was so excited. I rode. Probably that kind of feeling, you're never going to feel him again in July, you know. I don't know. At least I can say that for myself. You know, I'm doing very good as a trainer. And yes, to win your first race as a jockey was, I don't know, that was unbelievable feeling, you know.
Well, I remember my first win like it was yesterday, Rudy. You never forget it. I can tell
never
you that.
Never forget. Tears start coming out of my eyes. Yes, I don't know, overwhelming, you know. It's tough, you know. But at least I can say I did it because, you know, a lot of people kind of, they say, oh, you're never going to make him. And I guess I prove everybody wrong, you know. So that was something that I wanted to do because they say, oh, you're never going to do it. So it was good for me. And I don't ride that many winners, but I did it. And I win some races, and I got some broken bones, and I don't regret. And I still gallop some horse. I still breathe some horse in the morning, and I love it.
Made the person you are today, right, Rudy? And not very many people can say that they've been able to ride races. They've been able to ride a thoroughbred going 40 miles an hour and cross the wire in front.
You know, I can definitely say that and do that, you know?
Absolutely. It's best feeling in the world. I know that.
Definitely. Believe me, I can be on the horse all day and still loving it. You know, I get up in the horse every day, and I just try to do the best I can with them, and hopefully they perform the way in the afternoon, you know.
Rudy Rodriguez joining me here on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Rudy, You started in New York, and that's an incredibly tough circuit to start riding at. And who are the riders in the room that you maybe watched and you wanted to copy their style and you admired the way they looked on a horse? Who are the riders that you looked up to?
You know, when I started, you got Caño Cordero, you got Jorge Velasquez, you got one of the best jockeys in the country. And you know, I started almost at the same time with Johnny Velasquez, Rafael Mojica. They was the top apprentice in the country at the time. So I really, really started in the wrong time, I guess, you know, and I was not that good at the beginning. So, and the horses the day you were riding was not good enough. So everything was hard. But I don't regret, you know, everything was very, very good for me. And I never going to regret what I went through. And everything was beautiful. Watch the guys ride and they try to teach you what to do. And even at the same time, you don't try to listen to them. But they always try to tell me, Cordero, Johnny Velasquez, a lot of the other people that was riding with them. And, you know, like, but like you said, you know, New York was very, very, it still is very, very competitive place to start and to be successful. So, but, you know, everything worked out for a reason, and thank God I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rudy, did you ride in New York your entire career?
Yes. Yes, I started. I used to go ride to Finger Lakes. I used to go ride to Loro, Mammon Park, Loro, Philadelphia, Delaware, Garden State. I try to ride whatever I can. I don't ride that many good horses, but I was trying to do what I can to get myself in the position to win more races. And, you know, don't happen the way I want it, but I enjoy it.
And it's a tough game, Rudy. If you don't win, you don't win. You know, it's
definitely,
it's hard. You have to have, you know, good numbers by your name there in the program to show that you can get one home. And it can be tough. It's a tough, tough,
very, very,
game.
Very tough.
And was it frustrating to you? You mentioned you worked for Dutro and Bobby Frankel, and I read that during your entire riding career, you still worked for such incredible trainers in the morning. Was it frustrating for you to get on such nice horses in the morning and then to get on some pretty bad horses in the afternoon? Was that frustrating for you?
Not really, you know. I know what I was able to do, and at the same time, you know, I wanted to learn from the guys that they was doing very good, and they treat me very, very good. You know, I cannot say anything bad. Richard Dutro Jr., he treat me very good. Bobby Franco, he always treat me like, he treat me very, very good. So, you know, to be around them people and try to learn from them, and then they teach you what you wanted to learn, it was an amazing experience for me. And I never knew I was going to be a trainer. You know, I wanted to be riding, or even I was not be able to ride with horses. I win for Bobby. I win a few of the best races I ever win. I win for Richard Dutro Jr. I wrote a couple of winners for Bobby. So, you know, they don't throw you much, but when they throw you something, it was worth it, you know.
Who is the nicest horse you rode in the afternoon?
Oh, I rode a lot. In the afternoon, probably Frost Giant.
Frost Giant.
You know, I rode By the Light. I rode a lot of nice horses, but I never kind of keep them all together, you know. But I rode, I guess my best horse was Frost Giant. You know, we win the Grade One. By the Lie, I win a big race over there in Finger Lakes. You know, I don't rode that many good ones, but Frost Giant, it was one of my best horses I ever rode. I only rode him two times, but he won a Grade One, so that was good for me.
Very good for you. Rudy, and describe that race when you upset the Grade One Suburban Handicap in 2008. Describe the race to us.
You know, I kind of was supposed to be the rabbit of the race. Rick got two horses in the race. He got Rising Moon. He was the favorite. Cornelio Velasquez rode the horse. But, you know, when Ega Prado kind of run off, I can't remember the name of the horse, one for Buckwheat kind of take off, and he was in trouble, so he just sneaked to the rail and went off, and I just stayed behind him. And it was an amazing feeling, you know, because I know in the eight pole, Gabriel Saez come to me and looked like he was going to go by, and his horse kind of hang, and my horse keep digging in. And I know in the last eight of the mile, I thought I was going to win the race because the other horse don't. He come to me like he was going to go by, and he has to stay with me, and I say, I think I'm going to get this one. And I got it, thank God, you know, and everything worked out good. But it was a very, very good feeling when the other horse don't went by, and my horse still was digging in. So that was very, very, very good, you know.
We talked about the incredible feeling it is to win your first race, but it has to be an even better feeling to win your first grade one, Rudy. That had to be...
You know, I don't think I was going to feel the same way when I win my first race. So I don't know. You know, it's two different feelings.
Sure.
And, you know, when you win your first race, and that was... Forget it. I can't even describe. You know I win the grade one, and it was all good, but I don't know. I almost was, when I win my first race, I almost was without air, you know. I can't even breathe. So it was unbelievable. So
when you...
It was good, that's for sure.
Oh, most definitely. Rudy, when you won that grade one with Frost Giant, did you notice, because as I just mentioned, you have to win. To get noticed by trainers, you have to win. Did you notice that your business picked up after that grade one win?
Not really, though. Not really. I stay the same way, you know. They don't pick up much. They don't pick up much. Because, you know, I was at the same time, I was working for Bobby and I was working for Rick, trying to support my family. So I wanted to try to give my kids and good living, my wife. You know, at the same time, I was working hard for them in the morning. My main salary was working for Bobby and Rick Dutro. And sometimes I work one or two horses over here and try to walk around. And, you know, I fell down a lot of times. And when my business was getting good at the beginning, when I got my apprentice, I broke my back. So I was out for a year. So I think everything went backwards at the time, you know.
Oh, God, Rudy. Yeah, I know exactly what that feels like. I was in the top standings at Parks, and I broke my neck with my bug. So I completely... It's so frustrating when you're doing so well and your business is picking up, and then, lo and behold, you get hurt.
You know,
and
I was riding 6, 7, 8 horses a day, and from riding 8, you're riding 1, and the worst one. So it's kind of the very, very hard. But, you know, I never kind of... look at that way. I just want to be competitive. And even when I rode a horse, I still put myself in the position to give the horse I used to ride, at least break him good and put him in the position and take it from there. But it was not always easy, you know.
How would you describe your riding style, Rudy?
I'm not that good, though, you know. I could do a lot of better. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I never kind of went to school and learned him. I kind of went to the farm, and before I know, I was riding already. So I kind of put myself without experience, you know. Yes, because I was working hard, and I was working a couple of horses in the morning, and the guys I used to work, they don't pay me. And they say, but give me a chance to ride him then. So I kind of I supposed to put myself in a better position, maybe go to a school in Puerto Rico or somewhere else in Panama and try to learn it from the bottom, you know. But when you're here and you don't got the money, you don't got the visas or the papers to go out, the country was kind of hard, you know.
Absolutely. It is difficult, Rudy. And did you have an agent during your career?
Yeah, I got one agent. But, you know, he was like in and out because he got another job too, so... Jose Enriquez, he was my first agent. We did good, you know. I don't think he complained, and I don't complain. when I was able to ride horses, I really good. I could do a little better, but, you know, it's what it is.
And Erdy, you mentioned you broke your back with your bug. What other injuries did you have during your career?
Oh, plenty. I got my knee right now. My knee is no good. I got 16 screws in my collarbone. Mm. Broke it completely. Few ribs. My toe, my hand, you name it. And right now, I think I'm paying the price, but I don't regret it, you know. That comes with the job. And once in a while, I can get up, but you got to get up, I guess.
Comes with the territory. That's right. I swear, Rudy, I'm better than the weatherman. I know when it's going to rain based on how my bones feel in the morning.
Oh, how do you feel now? I need some rain for Thursday and Friday.
That's what they're saying, and I feel it. Let me tell you why. Oh, goodness.
Hopefully you can call me later on and tell me your Friday, when the night is going to be pouring and to Thursday, so then I can win some races. I got a couple horses in the main track there. I like them, so hopefully you can tell me that.
I'll let you know, Rudy. I'll let you know. Was there ever a moment going through those injuries? I mean, you had some pretty horrific things happen to you. Was there ever a moment when you doubted coming back that you were thinking, maybe I won't?
No, never.
Never.
Never. I cannot wait to get up back on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe crazy. But I don't know. I think if my brother Gustavo is with me right now, is my main assistant, if he don't push me, I say, you got to stop because you're going to kill yourself. I maybe never stop. Maybe I start trying riding.
No, I know whenever I was in the hospital, Rudy, as soon as I would wake up and the doctor was there, the first thing I ever said was, when can I get back? When can I?
Yeah, no, I guess, you know, when you, Jackie, you just want to be riding. I don't care how bad you injury is, you know.
You got to love
it. I guess so, you know. Sometimes it's crazy, but to think that way, but that's what it is, you know.
Rudy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening. I know you're a busy man and you have lots of things to do, so we'll let you go. And Rudy, we're wishing you all the best.
Thank you very much, Christina. And so I'm going to stay more long with you guys. I kind of screwed up, forget about that you guys going to call me, and I give the other guy the afternoon off. So.
No worries, Rudy. It is all good. Check out the replay tonight, folks. It airs at 6 o'clock Eastern time. If you missed any portion of tonight's show, you can check out our website, horseracingradio.net, and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. While you're there, check out all of the other great shows you can listen to. And don't forget, join me and the Big A, Anthony Stabile, tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern time. We'll bring you 3 hours of live racing coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Being a jockey may be one of the more dangerous professions in all of sports. In a split second, you can go from the top of the standings to never being able to stand again. I'm Mike Penna, and over the years, I've had the privilege of talking with many of the top jockeys in thoroughbred racing. And to a person, they will tell you that on any given day, before any given race, when they get a leg up, there's no guarantee they'll return the way they left. It's simply the reality of being a jockey. The Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund does amazing work, providing financial assistance to some 60 former jockeys who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries. Since its founding 10 years ago, the PDJF has disbursed over $7 million to permanently disabled jockeys. And I'm proud to say that the PDJF is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. But the only way they can continue helping those disabled riders who have given our sport so much is through your generosity and support. So I encourage you to visit pdjf.org and start making a difference today.
This is CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. Paco Lopez was the only rider to win two graded stakes last week, and he won the Grade 3 Ben Ali aboard Watershed and the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley aboard Dickinson. Lopez finished the week winning 27% of his mounts with three wins and two second place finishes. Congratulations to Ricardo Santana Jr. for winning his fifth riding title in a row at Oaklawn Park. In addition to the riding title, Santana won the Grade 3 Count Fleet Sprint aboard Whitmore. Santana finished the week with six wins, five seconds, and two third place finishes. Luis Contreras had a great week as he finished in the money on 50% of his mounts and won the Grade 3 Fantasy aboard Ever So Clever. Contreras finished the week with eight wins, four seconds, and four third place finishes. Finally, the Jockeys Guild Jockey of the Week, Julian Leperoux, punched his ticket to the Derby as he guided home Classic Empire in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. The Frenchman led North America in earnings due to winning 31% and coming in the money on 56% of his mounts. Leperoux finished the week with five wins, one second, and three third-place finishes. John Parada's newest book, Half a Chance, is available now at JockeyTalk360.com. Half a Chance is the story of a down-on-his-luck jockey agent who finds himself entangled in a web of deceit and larceny and provides the kind of entertaining read that is ideal for any racing fan. Visit JockeyTalk360.com for more information. This has been CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. For all the latest news in the jockey world, visit JockeyTalk360.com and follow us on Twitter at JockeyTalk.